Hi, I'm Dr. Sian Williams, presenting on behalf of my co-authors discussing our scoping review titled Measuring Skeletal Muscle Morphology and Architecture with Imaging Modalities in Children with Cerebral Palsy. This is published in Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology. So the goal of this review was to establish the breadth of the literature reporting on lower limb muscle in children and adolescents with CP, reviewing imaging methodologies such as ultrasound, both 2D and 3D, and MRI, reviewing the selection of the muscle variables, and also to scope the context of the assessments of these muscles. A systematic search of 6 key databases and screening by 2 authors resulted in the inclusion of 80 publications meeting our criteria, spanning from 2002 up to the beginning of 2019. Now, the majority of the literature stems from North America, UK, Europe, and Australia. The most commonly used methodology was 2D ultrasound, but the use of 3D ultrasound and MRI had gained more popularity over more recent years. Now, of course, the imaging method used is a major determinant on the variable of muscle that can be measured, with fascicle length measured with ultrasound and muscle volume, which can be measured with both MRI and 3D ultrasound, generally being the most common variables included for investigation. Again, the imaging methodology will influence the muscle of interest, and perhaps also the number of muscles investigated within a study. So for example, an MRI will allow for multiple muscles to be scanned at once, whereas an ultrasound is more limited. And with that, 60% of the ultrasound studies measured only one muscle of the lower limb, with the medial gastrocnemius muscle being the most common choice. In fact, the medial gastrocnemius muscle was the most commonly assessed muscle across all imaging studies, included within 74% of the papers within this review. Now, this is likely owing to the ease of measurement of this muscle, its clinical relevance for cerebral palsy, and functional importance in relation to, for example, propulsion within gait. But this also may imply that much of our current understanding of CP muscle is derived from this medial gastroc muscle, which may somewhat bias our understanding of muscle morphology in CP. Not all muscles function or perhaps will respond to intervention the same way, and muscles will typically operate within a functional group. So it can be valuable to look at an individual or agonist muscle, but also look to its supporting muscles, the synergist and perhaps even the antagonist muscles. There's also a bias in the literature towards participants who are able to ambulate independently, with most studies including participants classified by GMFCS level 1 and 2, with relatively little research in individuals classified as GMFCS level 5 or quadriplegic. And the majority of the studies had a mean age of participants between 8 to 13 years. There were no investigations relating to pubertal development, and only 15 studies included participants under the age of 4. So there may still be a bit of a gap of our understanding across this total child adolescence age span. We were also interested to note that 23 studies included grouped data of participants whose age range varied by 10 years or more, which will have introduced an additional layer of variability within their outcomes. With regards to the study type, most were cross-sectional observational studies, often making comparison of CP muscle to typically developing groups or reporting outcomes of muscle alongside other measures. Now, we categorise the reporting of other measures according to the domains of the ICF, with most including impairment-focused measures such as spasticity, strength, and less so activity measures, and only 4% including participation measures. 25 studies employed muscle imaging as an outcome measure following intervention, with most investigating alterations following botulinum neurotoxin type A. There are also 9 methodological type papers describing new techniques or testing reliability or validity. Now, of the 80 papers, around a quarter reported their clinometric properties measured within their own study cohort. 29 papers cited the clinometric properties of their imaging modalities from previous research, so this is not always tested in cohorts of similar age, size, or diagnostic population. 30 papers made no reference to the clinometric properties of the imaging mode they employed. The outcomes of all reported clinometrics, such as reliability and validity, are summarised within the supplementary material of this review. And this supplementary material also includes summaries of all the papers organised by imaging type, including the main findings of each paper, More details around the methodology of each study, including information about the ultrasound or MRI scan setup, participant and joint positioning, additional outcomes arranged by the ICF domains, and normalization methods for reporting. And there really is such a variation between methodology and how outcomes are reported. And this may provide challenges for us in synthesizing the understanding and finding a common interpretation. So clinicians need to be mindful how to interpret findings presented in CP in the wider context of measurement variation. And we recommend researchers use the summaries provided within this review to strengthen future study methodology. We also propose that the choice of muscle measurement and the muscles selected really obviously should be tailored to the goals of the research question, but when possible, also muscles should be viewed in the context of their functional group as well, rather than just focus on the one muscle. In the assessment, all efforts should be made to either eliminate or at least report on potential confounding variations of the measurement of muscle. Because so many of these variables can change just based on the positioning of the joint or the location of the measurement along the muscle itself. Consider how can you standardize and how should you normalize? And ideally, researchers should include their own clinometric testing of measures and consider investigating muscle in relation to more participation-focused outcomes. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy reading this paper.